In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Episode of A Psychic Story, we have a very special guest, Coot Blackson. By the age of 8, Coot was speaking to his father's congregations, which at the time consisted of more than 300 churches. By the age of 14, he was ordained. Today, Coot is a highly sought-after motivational speaker, transformational teacher, and national best-selling author, and he's joined the show to talk and share with us about the art of surrender. Welcome to the show, Coot.
Great to be here.
Awesome. So before we get into your latest book, The Magic of Surrender, Finding the Courage to Let Go, I'd love for you to share your personal story about how you got started on your spiritual path.
Sure. I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London. I would say that from a very young age, I always felt a deep calling to serve humanity. For me, I was a very sensitive kid, so I would feel people suffering very deeply in a certain way. And there was always a desire to alleviate people's suffering. I didn't know what that would look like. I just knew I just wanted to help people. And so there was a strong desire in me, you know, and I was always asking myself the question. I mean, life didn't seem to make sense to me as a kid. I would see people who seemed to have everything, yet seemed to be miserable, and they had every reason to be happy. Then I saw folks who seemed to have nothing, yet many of them seemed to be very happy. And so I was confused, so I started to ask myself the question, who am I and why are we here and what's the purpose of life? Is it just to wake up, eat, make money, have sex, go on a vacation, buy a car, buy a house, and then die? Like, surely there has to be more to this purpose of life than just that. And mm-hmm. So what really impacted me too was my father. You know, I grew up as a young boy. My first memory was literally seeing a crippled woman crawling on the floor. And she picks up the sand that this man walks on, wipes it on her face. He has no idea, and stands up. And so week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see and deaf people hear and people stand up out of wheelchairs. And he'd put his hands on a woman in a wheelchair and say, stand up, or a person with crutches and say, throw your crutches away. And so I grew up with this sense of possibility. I grew up around miracles. I didn't think it was anything special because this was just normal for me. And my father built 300 churches in Ghana. He had a huge church in London, about 4,000 or 5,000 people every Sunday, and hundreds of thousands of followers. And so age 8, I started speaking in my father's churches. Age 14, I was pretty much ordained as a minister, given the mandate to take over my mm-hmm. father's churches. So there was a lot of pressure and expectation on me. And when it was announced, my heart sank because I knew that this was not my life. I knew that this was not what I wanted to do. I knew that this was not my path. But I was too afraid to speak the truth to my father. I was too afraid to tell him what I really felt and who I really was. Because my fear was if I dared to be myself, if I dared to be authentic, if I showed him who I really was, then I'd be outcast. I'd lose his love. I'd be abandoned. And so I said nothing. And my life was basically set out for me. The whole trajectory was planned. And I felt like I was just living someone else's life, you know. But I wanted to help people. And I loved my father and I loved people. But I just knew that my path wasn't through the structure of religion or the church. Mm-hmm. And so it took me about 4 years to muster up the courage, you know. And during this time, I was speaking in my father's churches. I started to read spiritual. I read probably 800 spiritual books, self-help books from age 8 to 18 on psychology,
wow,
and mysticism and meditation, and started having these spiritual experiences. So by the time I turned 18, I knew, basically I had my entire life set out in front, and I knew I had to make a decision. I was going to follow the expected path, or I was going to follow the path of my soul and surrender to the path of my soul. What that was, I had no idea what that was, although I just knew it was calling me in this direction.
It was different, right?
Yeah, it was different, calling me in a certain direction, but I didn't understand it. And I think many times what our soul guides us to do intuitively doesn't always make sense to our mind. What our soul guides us to do is often very confusing, and we're not able to understand it in the moment. It's often only maybe in retrospect looking back. And so I was guided to come to America. I wanted to go to America because all of the teachers and authors that I'd read about when I was a kid lived in America, specifically Southern California, most specifically Los Angeles.
That time, yeah, exactly.
Especially at that time, right? And so I wanted to come and meet them and learn from them, and yet I was living this life. And so I looked into my future of the expected path, and I realized I could be successful by everyone's standards, for my father, make everybody happy. And I projected age 20, age 30, age 40, age 50, age 60. But I realized if I didn't have myself, if I didn't have my integrity, if I didn't have who I was, what the hell do I have, you know? And I felt such a heartbreak in myself. And I realized you can't truly live a happy and fulfilling life being someone that you're not. You can't truly live a happy and fulfilling life doing something that is not aligned. And so I had a conversation with my father. It was very difficult, very challenging, but I felt like that's the day I became a man and took control of my destiny in a sense, and was ready to give everything up, and told him I'm not going to take over his operation. We didn't speak for 2 years. It was pretty heartbreaking. I think sometimes there's a sense of when you find your purpose, life is easy. You know, everything, you know, the music plays, the angels come out. But I think sometimes when you find your purpose, that's when the real challenges and the real tests begin. And that's when, shall we say, life tests you and puts you through many tests so that your soul can kind of overcome, so that you can develop and develop the mental, the emotional, the physical strength, so that you can become the person who's capable of fulfilling the vision or the mission that you have. And so, yeah, spoke to my father, came to America, and long story short, won a green card in a lottery.
That's divine intervention right there.
Came to the US, two suitcases, knew no one. But that was a sign. I knew that I was on the path. I had no idea where I was going, but I knew I was on the path. I was on the right path. And I think that so long as you follow, and we can talk about this at some point, but so long as you follow your soul, so long as you follow what's true, I really believe that you will always end up in the right place, even though the route that you take,
I believe that wholeheartedly,
might be a little unexpected, you know? And so for me, it was challenging, came with two suitcases, knew no one. But when I won the green card, that's when I knew that I was being guided. That's when I knew that there was an intelligence of life that was guiding me. And so surrender is something I've lived from that moment, you know?
You mentioned a lot of really powerful, important things, but I think one of the most important ones is to know that truth is our most powerful currency.
Yes.
Because, and your truth may not be somebody else's truth or path, right? And it is very hard, because whether you mentioned that your life was planned and out there before you, you're almost kind of doing a respectful way in a different way of your father's path. It was his path, but you're still speaking, you're still motivating, you're still, it just looks a little different. And had you not had that courage to surrender and step into that truth and just throw your trust in the universe as well, then all these other things may not have happened. You might not be touching as many people as you are right now with your speaking and with your books.
Yeah.
What does surrender look like to you? Because I heard you speaking about this and it spoke very directly to my soul, because it is a lot of throwing caution to the wind and not being in that fear mindset, right?
Yeah, I mean, caution to the wind. Okay, so let's back up. I think surrender, when we say surrender, I think there's a misperception, a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation. Surrender's gotten a bad rap. Many times we think that surrender means being passive. Surrender means being weak. Surrender means you're going to be a doormat. Surrender means being lazy. Surrender means not taking responsibility. Surrender means you're not going to manifest your goals, your dreams, desires. Surrender means you're going to be homeless, be broke, sell everything, move to the Himalayas, you know. And there's this idea of surrender that's not necessarily inspiring or positive. And so really what I'm saying is surrender is when you let go of trying to control everything, trying to control everything that we're not really in control of anyway, but it's when you let go of trying to control everything. Control is the master addiction. And I think as human beings, we try to control, even in meditation, we try to control ourselves, our thoughts. In exercise, we try to control our body. You know, in prayer, we try to control God. We try to control our spouse. We try to control our children. We try to control our goals.
We're trying to control the outcome of everything. Yeah.
We try to control everything only to realize we're really not in that. When has control truly led to fulfillment? Truly led to freedom? Truly led to joy? Truly led to bliss? Has it really worked out for us? And so to surrender is to let go of trying to control everything, to let go of trying to fit life into your small idea or box of how you think your life should be. Surrender is to stop trying to manipulate and force life to be what you think it should be, even though it's not. To surrender is to give up, let go of the idea of who you think you should be and the life that you think you should be living so that you can truly embrace the authentic expression of what life is seeking to manifest and express through you and in your life now. Because many times we have this idea of what we think we should do and what we think we should live, that we miss what's here now, what's seeking to happen now. And so in that surrender, it is an availability. It is an openness. It is a willingness to be open to what life is seeking to express. And so it's when we take the conditions off of life and we're available, we're open. I think when we truly surrender, then we don't put limits on life. When we truly surrender in that availability and openness, we're open to the infinite possibilities, you know, of what life can express, not just our limited idea of it's got to look this way and life's got to be this way and life's got to be that way. Because many times, even as human beings, we set goals and intentions and try to manifest things in our life, but we're often trying to manifest from our mind of what we think should be. Oh, I'm going to project what the life I want to have, but we're not realizing that even the mind itself is conditioned. The mind itself is conditioned from the past programming, past pain, past wounds, past childhood. And so many times you might even achieve the goal that you set out to achieve only to have this experience of dissatisfaction, the sense of, is this it? Is this all? I mean,
and then you think you need more. Then you think you need more and you up the ante, right? And it's just a cycle.
It's never, when you're setting goals from that perspective, it's never fulfilling because what you think you want is not really what you really want. It's just what you think you want based on who you think you are. And so many of the goals then are projections of who we think we are based on our conditioning of the past, which is based on our childhood and our wounds and our traumas and our hurt, all that stuff. And so maybe dad wasn't around or mom wasn't around. And so we weren't. So we made up a story and interpretation within ourselves of I'm not lovable. I'm not enough. I'm not acceptable. I'm not this. I'm not that. And so there's an unconscious projection even through our goals as a way to thought, oh, if I can have that body and if I can get that relationship and if I can have that house and that car and that career and that fame and that, you know, fill in the blank and that amount of money, then I'm going to finally be enough. And so now our goals become a way to try and meet a certain unmet need. So even when we achieve the goal, it's never enough. And that's why there's a constant drive and hunger and addiction for more and more and more, because what we want is not what we really want. And so I think true surrender is that letting go. And there's a difference. There's the old paradigm is, shall we say, an ego-based model of living life, which is based on what do I want? And that's how we determine our goals and our vision. What do I want? Not realizing the I is a construct, right? So what do I want? I think truly living surrender is a different path, is a different way. I think is an evolution that as a humanity, we are being invited to step into. If you look at the last year, 2020, we thought we were in control, but I really see even the last year as a transformational spiritual process that we've been globally thrown into. Call it a surrender meditation, right? That we're in this surrender meditation. What's going to happen? I don't know. What happens? Who knows? Nobody knows. And so we have to let go. We have to surrender. We're being forced to surrender. So I see it as a spiritual process. And so the next evolution, I feel, I call it soul setting rather than goal setting.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Soul setting. And so the question is not, what do I want? The question becomes, what is it that is seeking to express through me? What is it? This is the question. What is it that's seeking to express through me? What is it life is seeking to manifest through me? What is it life is seeking to move and purpose and love and create through me and sing through me and art through me and write through me? And actually feeling that the deepest, what is the deepest impulse of what life is seeking to create and express through me? And rather than projecting with your mind and your ego, actually expanding and being open and surrender to feel the movement, the impulse, the authentic nature of what life is seeking to do and express, and then be still to listen and align with this deeper expression of life. What is it that my soul is seeking to express? And I think when we really align with the authentic nature of life, our beingness, then we are in flow. And when we're truly in flow, then we can, you know, structure our thoughts, our actions, our marketing, our resources, our goal setting around what's authentic rather than what we think we should be doing. And so surrender is to expand ourselves to be open to the bigger, expansive vision that life has for us, which we're often not able to see. If you look at Mandela, I'm sure Mandela did not imagine he was going to be in prison 27 years. But if he wasn't in prison 27 years, I guarantee you he would not have been the Nelson Mandela that we know today. It probably took that 27 years of meditation and prayer and visioning and compassion, empathy and forgiveness to become the great soul of Mandela. And so we're often not able to see the bigger picture. And so surrender is expanding. Surrender is an openness. Surrender is full availability and openness. And so what is it that life is seeking to express through me? And the willingness to allow oneself to be lived by life. I think that's the key. And I think what life can do through us and what life can manifest through us is more than what we can create and manifest through our own personal power. Look at what life did through Mandela. Look at what life did through Jesus. Look at what life did through Martin Luther King. Look at what life did through JFK. Look at what life did through Mother Teresa. Or, you know, the list goes on. It's like they move mountains. So if anyone thinks that surrender is weak and passive and lazy and like big things can't happen, it's a mistake. I'm actually saying through surrender, you may not get less. Through surrender, what if you got more? And that's the possibility and the invitation.
You say to ask that question, what is life trying to work through me? And it sounds like a simple question, but that's a very deep question and something that people, when we ask that of ourselves, are probably going to need to be sitting down and really open and doing a lot of soul work and emotional work as well. Is that also what you like in your book, walk people through and like the steps and how they can
they can follow that and feel into that. But when we ask the question, we have to be willing to receive the answer, because sometimes we want what we want. The mind wants what it wants. So we have to want the truth more than we want what we want. But no. I got to be doing this. No. I got to be doing that. But
I'm going through that right now. Yeah, 2 years ago, I had this calling similar to you. I had the car, the career, the relationship, all of that. And I just felt super empty. And after 20 plus years of doing this and getting the more, I finally was like, enough, time out. Like, what is it that I'm supposed to be here to do? And I heard very clearly and from my soul that it was to give people a platform to share their stories so that they felt comfortable and not judged in where they're going and not from that fear base. And then, which this is the kicker, like you said, it's not always an easy path. Then the next thing 2 years later that I'm being told is sell your house, downsize, put in more time to this, put in the work yourself, do all of this. And my ego kept saying, but then where am I going to live? What's this? Like all of these things. And the point is that I have places to live. I don't have a plan on exactly where that is, but that is also part of the art of surrender, is not, again, trying to control the outcome and being open to maybe what the universe is bringing into my life and or your life, depending on if you're going through something similar, whoever's listening out there, that's part of it too, is you don't have to have all the answers. And like you just said, in some cases, it's also part of, there might be possibilities and options that you just had no idea were even, you know, that's out there, that's infinite, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, a place that people can start from a practical level in terms mm-hmm. of surrender, as we talk about surrender, is one of the things that stop us from truly surrendering, one of the things that stop us from living a fulfilling life, are actually the ways in which we lie to ourselves. As human beings, in many ways, we are constantly, not even intentionally, just even unconsciously lying to ourselves. Maybe you're in a relationship and you know that this relationship is not right for you. You know that deep in your heart, something's off, something's not right, something's not aligned. Maybe you've just outgrown it. And so many times we're like, well, no, it could be okay, maybe. But deep down, we know it's not aligned, but we stay in this relationship out of familiarity, out of comfort, out of safety, out of guilt, because we've invested so much time, because it's become our identity. And so I think part of surrendering doesn't just have to be this big thing where you sell everything and move to India. It might just be each day tuning in and feeling moment to moment, what lies am I telling myself? Where am I not telling the truth? And just beginning to take a step towards, what is the truth about what I feel here? What is the truth about what I want here? What is the truth about what's really going on here? And so to surrender to the truth is a part of surrender. Like, and it might be, you know what? I know that this relationship is not right for me. And to take the pressure off of having to take an action, to take the pressure off of even having to get a divorce or ending the relationship, just to acknowledge the truth. Maybe I'm working a job and I hate my job, but I've been in this job for 20 years and I don't know how I'm going to survive otherwise. So I'm too afraid to acknowledge that I hate my job, because what would that mean? So surrender might mean just simply saying to yourself, I hate my job. And being willing to just be with that mm-hmm. for a moment, mm-hmm. because when you're with that truth, it's going to trigger some feelings, and you don't have to take action, but the feelings can start a process inside. And so simple questions. Number one, what lies am I telling myself? No judgment, no force, no pressure. Just bringing yourself into the honesty and the surrender of the truth. What lies am I telling myself? Number two, what am I pretending to not know? What am I pretending to not know? In many ways, we're constantly playing a game of I don't know and confusion. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I... We do know. There's a sense. We have a sense of something. And just saying, okay, giving up the game of confusion and I don't know is like, what am I pretending to not know? The third question is, what are the lies that I'm telling myself that keep me stuck, that prevent me from surrendering? What are the lies I'm telling myself? What is it costing me? What is it costing me? Because when we lie to ourselves, when we don't tell the truth to ourselves, when we betray ourselves, it has a cost. It has a cost. And many times that cost is pain. That cost is, you know, blocks us from true fulfillment. And so we often feel this pain as human beings. To me, pain is not bad. Pain is feedback. Pain is a gift. Pain is a blessing. Pain is showing us that something is off. Something's not quite right. Some place we're probably not aligned. But as human beings, what we tend to do is we distract from the pain. We eat it away. We drink it away. We sex it away. We smoke it away. We drug it away. We social media it away.
We buy online
shop it away. Mm-hmm. You know, we Netflix it away, just so that we don't have to feel the pain of something is not right inside. Something is not aligned inside. And so I'm just inviting people to actually embrace the pain and use the pain as a calibration. Use the pain as a friend, as a feedback to go, what is it costing me? What is this showing me as to where I'm not aligned? And feel, really feel the pain. Not wallow, but feel the pain, because the pain is showing you where something is off. Then you can bring yourself back into more and more alignment. So I would just invite people to start there.
I think a lot of times people also are afraid to fear the pain because they feel like they're going to fall apart or they won't have the answers. But what you're saying is, again, also very empowering, because when you sit in that and you feel it, a lot of times I don't want to say it's short-lived, because sometimes we do need to experience it a little bit longer, but it tends to pass, at least for me and in my experience, sooner than you think, because you're not ignoring it. Like you said, you're like recognizing it and you're using it as that litmus test of knowing where you need to focus on next. And that in and of itself is a guiding principle and is very empowering for people, instead of, you know, kind of shirking it away and hiding it and that sort of thing. What about the books? So how did the idea come to you to write it? And, you know, obviously you have other books out there and you have many topics you talk about, but was there like one moment, or was it something that was you were thinking about for a while?
This was not the book that I thought I was going to write. Okay. Let's just be clear about that. I had an entire wall filled with a whiteboard with an intention of what I wanted to write. I had a bunch of great ideas. I'm going to write about this. The publishers would love that. People would want to buy. You know, this would be a bestseller. That would be a best. And so I had all of these ideas with my mind as to what I thought would be great books that I may end up turning into books at some point. But there was one day when I was looking at this entire whiteboard, meditating on it, and I literally felt the soul of this book just appear to me.
It was downloaded, yeah.
Clear as day, surrender. And I was like, surrender? I don't want to write about surrender. I'll be honest, I was resisting writing about surrender.
Mm-hmm. You were doing the whole thing that you talked about earlier where you're trying to control.
I was resisting writing about surrender. Like, this is not the book that I should be writing. I should be writing some other book. But I really felt like this was the book, not that I wanted to write, but the book that was seeking to be written. And sometimes in life, it's the same with life. This is not what we want it to happen, but it's what is seeking to happen. And so I had to surrender my mind and my ego to this is what's seeking to happen. And it felt true. It felt right. After the initial moment of resistance, I surrendered and I felt as though the ideas and the structures and the vision for the book started to flow. And more than anything, that's when I felt like I was just a vessel and a messenger for the message of this book to allow the book to come through. And so it became very humbling. And so I think the seed of the book, though, was planted because at the end of 2016, I was on tour with my first book and traveling and promoting You Are the One, became a bestseller. I got a phone call from my father, end of 2016, telling me that my mother was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And that was really, 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 really difficult, really challenging, to say the least. The woman I love the most, that I thought would be around for another 20 years, is going. And I started to fly back and forth from Los Angeles to London. I would say every month I'd be with my mother during her chemo sessions. I was visiting her. I had every intention to get my mother well. I had every intention to heal her, to supplements and green powders and, you know, all of that stuff, alternative therapies. And probably a few weeks into the process, I realized she was not going to make it. And I realized that no matter how much I prayed, no matter how much I intended, no matter how much I visualized, no matter how much green juice or supplements I gave her, she was going to die. And in that moment, I had to let go. I realized I was not in control. I had to let go of control and grieve the fact my mother was dying, you know? And it opened up a whole new dimension of loving, because when I stopped resisting and embraced that my mother was dying, then it just freed me up to just love her even more fully, because I saw that every conversation with my mother could be really the last conversation. Rather than living in hope, this could be it. And so the grief opened up something very profound. And so 6 months into the process, and I think this is when the seed of the book got planted, the doctors basically officially said, you're going to die, so get your affairs in order. And I looked at my mother after that conversation on our way home, and I said to my mother, are you afraid? I mean, this is it. And she looked at me and she said, I'm not afraid, because I know I'm not just this body. I know that what I am is a soul, and this body is just a vehicle in this lifetime. But when this body is gone, I will be with you and I will live in eternity, you know? And so I felt her strength, you know. Then I said to my mother, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything you want or you need in your final days? I wanted to be a good son. And what can I do? What can I get? She said, there's nothing I want. And I think this was the seed of the book. She said, there's nothing I want. All I want is what God wants for my life. And it was such a simple statement. But I realized that this was the key to her freedom. This entire year, she had been peaceful. This entire year, she didn't cry. She was at complete peace. This Japanese little woman who was very emotional, complete peace, you know? And she wasn't attached to living. She wasn't attached to dying. She was free. And I saw that she was living surrender. And I realized that my entire life as a kid, she'd been living surrender. This was a Japanese woman that married an African guy, not speaking English, having never met him, never seen him, never spoken to him, agreed to marry him through a letter and following her soul. And I thought, wow, I saw her power.
So she had been teaching you that like your whole life.
My whole life. And I didn't even realize that surrender is the key. Surrender is the key to greatness. Surrender is the key to freedom. And then once she passed, that's when the whole download of the book came. And I saw that all of the great ones, folks I've mentioned, Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Bruce Lee, you know, on and on. At some point, they also had to surrender. They all had to surrender to something bigger than themselves. They all had to surrender to life. They all had to surrender to their soul. They all had to surrender to allow life to live and express through them. And look what happened. And so that's how the book came about in a really unusual and beautiful way.
That's very profound. And you mentioned that it just came through you. It was almost like it was coming from this higher place, this higher power, this energy, and was kind of like channeled through you. And was it just really easy from that point to start to write it?
Nope.
You had to go back to surrender again and again.
I wish it was easy to write. Here's the thing, you know, on a side note, I don't enjoy the process of writing. I've written two bestsellers. I really don't enjoy the process of writing. This is a little strong. I hate the process of writing. I like the process of speaking. It's more fluid. I don't have to think. Writing is a whole different animal. And for me, part of the surrender is surrendering to the deeper commitment of impact, surrendering to the deeper commitment of knowing the life is going to touch, surrendering to the deeper commitment in my soul long after the mood has passed. And many times, we, as human beings, we allow our moods to determine what we're going to do. I just don't feel like it. I'm not in the mood right now. So for me, the surrender, there was a deeper commitment to impact lives that I had to surrender to. And that deeper commitment is part of what moved me through my own mind's resistance to the process of sitting down and writing and this process that I really don't enjoy. And so, surrender, that's why I say surrender doesn't mean, in a sense, you know, some people have this idea, oh, I'm just going to follow the flow. I'm just going to follow the flow. Well, what does that mean? Well, someone offered me cocaine, so I'm going to have cocaine. Someone offered me ice cream, so I'm just going to eat ice cream. Someone offered me, you know, a big chocolate cake, so I'm just going to eat chocolate cake. Not necessarily. Surrender might mean sometimes saying no, because there's a bigger surrender. Because you're choosing something higher. You're choosing something of more integrity. You're choosing something that is more aligned with your soul. And so part of surrender, it requires inner strength as well, you know, because it also does require that you let go of what is no longer aligned.
Yeah, letting go what no longer serves you.
Letting go of what no longer serves. I always say that as you evolve on the spiritual path, what is natural is shall we say, the structure of your life at some point will become too small for what your soul is seeking to become. You will outgrow what you've created, even though what you may have created was fantastic and wonderful, and you might be succeeding. It might be everything you thought you wanted, but your soul at some point, if you're truly growing, will outgrow the structure.
There's no plateau in soul growth.
There's none. It's a constant process of evolution. And so if you're reaching, maybe if someone's listening and they're reaching that point, we're like, oh shit, I've outgrown it. What now? What we tend to do in that moment of realization is like an oh shit moment. And then we, out of fear, familiarity, we tend to run back and hold on to what we know. But holding on to that which isn't working, holding on to that which isn't aligned, just blocks the flow. Holding on to that which is not aligned is our affirms our lack of trust in the universe. And so the next level of ourself, the next level of our life requires the next level of you, which will require that you let go of the old and what's no longer a vibrational match. And so to truly surrender and manifest the next level, to me, manifestation is not about addition. Manifestation is about subtraction. It's about releasing the things, the situations, the relationships, the patterns, the addictions, whatever it is that is no longer a vibrational match for who you are and what your soul is seeking to express, which requires a bit of courage. It requires, that's why I say surrender is not weak. Surrender requires a tremendous strength. And so it sometimes means saying no to what you want so that you can say yes to what you really want.
Or no to what you think you want.
What you think you want. That's what I was going to say. No to what you think you want. So you can actually say yes to what you really want. And every time you truly say a soul yes to what you really want, you develop more strength. You develop more, shall we say, soul force. You know, this soul energy that builds and grows inside of you. And I think every time we choose an alignment with our soul, we get stronger energetically. We come into more alignment. We come into more integrity. Then our words and our thoughts and our intentions have power. To me, this is something that Mandela had when he spoke. He moved. There's a power.
There was a power behind it because he was speaking from not only his heart, but just from a place of knowing and that truth. And again, that's like the most powerful currency we have is being our authentic selves and living in that truth. But because we know energetically on all levels when somebody's not being honest with us, not honest with themselves, and it's just a mirror and it's a mask, right? How's your relationship now with your dad?
You know, my relationship with my dad is really beautiful. It's really sometimes in the moment when something happens, the mind doesn't understand why it's happening. When my mother passed away, it made no sense because I thought she would live longer because she's like 10, 11 years younger than my father. So logically, he's going to pass away first. But when she passed away, what I really understood after the fact, it was like she spoke to me on an energetic level. And I understood that the reason she passed away was to gift me the relationship with my father. Because had she been alive, it would have been me and her very close. But by her removing herself, it was a profound nudging to move in the direction of my father.
And bonding.
And bond and just to heal whatever even unconsciously might have been there. And so I made a decision when she passed away that I was going to call my father every day. I surrendered. I mean, I'd already forgiven him, you know, right. but we weren't super, super close. And so I surrendered anything and everything that was going to get in the way of loving. And in that moment, I really got clear when my mother passed. The only thing that really matters in life is the loving. The only thing that matters in life is the loving and the evolution of our soul, because that's the only thing we take with us, the degree to which we evolve, the lessons we learn. And so I made a conscious decision that I was going to love the hell out of my father every single day. Didn't matter if he responded, didn't matter if he liked it, didn't matter if he never called me back. So I started, he lives in Ghana, I live in the US. I started to call my father every single day. And I said, I will call my father and devote myself to loving this man out of my own commitment because I love him. And before my mind was like, well, you know, relationship is two-way and he should call me too. And I just dropped all of that. And I said, the only thing that matters is I love him. I don't have to be right about anything from the past. I'm going to express my loving as a commitment to his soul and my soul. That's it. And I started calling my father every day. No attachment, no agenda, no need for him to call me back every day. Dad, how are you? Like as a yoga, you know, every day, how you feeling? Checking in. Every day that I've been alive, other than maybe when I'm on an airplane and I can't call, I've called him. And interestingly, our relationship transformed. His heart melted. The depth of connection and love and respect, you know, just shifted in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And so, you know, sometimes in a moment, you can't always understand why something's happening or not happening in a moment. You know, I'll even say it this way as a different sort of angle. Sometimes when things don't go according to plan, or when you don't get what you thought you wanted, or manifest what you thought you wanted, it's actually grace. but the ego is not able to see it in the moment. But what we tend to do in that moment, when something happens, something ends, a relationship ends, someone dies, the thing doesn't manifest, we start to protest, we get pissed off, we feel like a victim, we collapse, you know, we moan and groan, rather than going, okay, because the ego mind is only able to interpret a situation based on its current level of consciousness, which is determined by its level of conditioning. And so what we perceive something to be sometimes is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So we project onto a situation through the lens of our limited ego perspective, based on our conditioning, what we think something is. So just because we perceive something to be that way doesn't mean it's reality, doesn't mean it is. So I think we have to then step back. Part of surrender is the willingness to step back. You mentioned this earlier. The willingness to step back and give up the need to know. The need to know and understand can often be, or the need to know can often be a limitation. When we get a guidance to do something, when we're in a situation, it doesn't make sense. And then so we collapse, we contract, and we don't go in the direction because I need to know.
It doesn't make sense in the construct that we've built or a limit.
I need to know where it's going. I need to know what's happening. I need to know what's going to happen. I need to know why. And so I think when we're able to just say, oh, you know what, let me, because that's another method of control.
Amen.
Here's the thing. Even when we think we know, we often don't know. And so, as you said, how many times have things worked out that didn't work out, but worked out better than we thought? How many times have we really, 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 really wanted something? Like, for instance, a relationship. You really wanted that relationship. You were in love. You wanted it. You thought you couldn't imagine your life without that person. But now you look back and go,
thank God.
God, that didn't work. Like, thank God that didn't work out. But in the moment, we weren't able to see him. So I think when things don't go how we expect, I think it's so important that we're not so quick to attach meaning, assign meaning, projection onto that moment and attach to this is what it is. We learn how to step back and be open. For surrender, key quality is curiosity. We learn how to step back, be open, and be curious. Huh, what else could this mean?
And observe. Mm-hmm.
And be in the, to embrace the unknown. The degree to which I think we can embrace the unknown is the degree to which we can be free. So step back, question, observe. Then there's the spaciousness to allow life to reveal itself, allow life to show, to lead us, to show us rather than us pushing life in a direction. Because I think life has an intelligence of its own. Life has been around for billions of years, you know. And so somehow as human beings, I was saying this to someone the other day, we've learned to trust Siri, more than we trust.
Or the A, which I won't say because I have one in my house and she'll speak up.
Exactly. More than we trust ourselves. We say, hey, Siri, turn left. Okay, we turn left. Turn right. We don't question. Siri, are you sure about that? We don't. But the moment your soul says, write that book, launch that thing, this is your purpose, we start questioning.
Or we put in things like, well, I can't do that because of this, or what about this? And we're just, like you said, it's like we're talking ourselves out of it because we know on a soul level that it's going to be hard work. And the hard work means that we're going to be open to all those infinite possibilities.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have just been such a blessing of not just in your past speaking opportunities and books, but this one, I really encourage everyone to go out and buy the book, The Magic of Surrender, The Courage of Letting Go by Coop Blackson. And you can also find him on all the social media channels. I've been following you for a long time now. So I really appreciate your time. And anything else that you're feeling led to share with folks before we break?
Surrender is the password to freedom. And if you want the magic, and magic could be whatever it means to you, in more abundance, more joy. But if beyond what you can imagine, you've got to surrender. So what do you need to surrender? Because I think letting go often leads to more. And true surrender, there's fake surrender and true surrender. True surrender is when you let go with agenda. If I surrender, then X, Y, Z is going to happen. So surrender becomes a system. Surrender becomes a strategy. Surrender becomes another sort of manipulation. But true surrender, when you really surrender unconditionally, you don't necessarily know what's going to be on the other side. And you're not projecting. And then there's true openness. And in that true openness, miracles can happen. And I just want everyone to know miracles are available for us all.
At any time. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.